Welcome to Diverse Wellbeing. Today, I have a very special guest here. I have Jessica, who is the mother of my three beautiful granddaughters. And it's a real pleasure to have her here today. So Jessica, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
Jessica is here to talk about her experiences. And we've just been chatting before we started to record about what we're going to talk about today. And we're talking about routine and co-regulation and then how that ties into well-being and being well and self-care. And Jessica made a really good point there where routine and co-regulation are, if you don't know where to start with your child, that's where you start. They're the foundation to build on, to form some opening for you to have space for self-care within your days, your day. So just very briefly, routine covers, we're going to cover like the daily movements as a family, like the morning routine, breakfast, the getting to and from school, hygiene, bedtime routine. And then in terms of co-regulation, if you're not familiar with that term, it's not a quick fix. It takes time and it takes patience. It's where the parent helps their child to calm down and feel safe. And over time, they will learn to manage their own emotions. But for children with additional needs, they may struggle to regulate on their own and they often become overwhelmed. So Jessica, I know, is going to talk about co-regulating. But first, Jessica, would we talk a little bit about routine in your home, if that's okay to ask you that?
So I agree, routine is so important for kids with additional needs because they need predictability, especially if they struggle to regulate their emotions or communicate. When things are the same every day, it gives them a sense of safety. So in my house, that could look like naming the things out in the morning for them. So my youngest really responded very well to having breakfast, keeping the words nice and short, one syllable, breakfast, dressed, bus, school. And then we would just add in that you're going home to mommy and who's going to be there when you get home. And in the evening, it stays the same. We have our tea time. We have some medicine, which would be her melatonin. And we have the sleep and the moon and the stars. And she might repeat that over and over. Some days she repeats it more than others. And maybe they're the days where she needs to feel that safety a bit more and to feel that regulation.
Yes, yeah.
And I just repeat it back to her because it's not changing. It's going to be the same. And it helps her regulate and calm herself, knowing that that's what's going to happen mm-hmm. each day.
Yes. So when you repeat the words, like her little list, that there's a sense of safety.
Yes.
And security in that. And mommy is a very important person and mommy is letting me know.
Yes.
So even though, you know, she's on the spectrum and has high needs, she's aware of what you're saying to her and she's remembering that, you think, during the day in school.
Yes. I think so, and I think it helps her knowing what's going to be first and what's going to be next. And Abby has quite long lists that she likes to name out, but I would recommend that you start so small mm-hmm. with, first, we're going to have our breakfast and then we're going to get dressed.
Yeah.
Just first and next.
Yes.
Because sometimes that's all their little minds are able for.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I do have three daughters who are on the spectrum. But Abby's needs are quite higher than her sister's. She has a diagnosis of severe autism. She has severe ADHD. And she has a moderate intellectual disability. So our focus with Abby is constantly trying to help her communicate, regulate her emotions, and be a part of a loving family, yes, that accepts her for who she is and helps her cope with the daily difficulties that she experiences. Mm-hmm. And some days are harder than others.
Yes.
But all the foundations of routine and bedtime and, you know, the things that she can rely on at the moment as well. She's very stuck on certain foods, but once they're there, mm-hmm, she will request them.
Yeah.
Which is more communication.
Yes.
Anything that helps her communicate in what is not an angry or frustrated or a heartbroken way is completely positive. So if your child will only eat chicken nuggets, just buy them chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Give them chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. They don't need to try something new right now. They just need everything to be predictable right now.
Yes.
And that's okay. I had an older child who didn't eat chicken nuggets till she was 3. And come the age of 9, she wanted to try sushi. They will grow and learn and try new things. So feed them their safe foods.
Yes.
And have as much variability. I'm lucky Abby likes bananas and grapes, mm-hmm, and peas and sweet corn. But some days she won't eat them. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Yes. Because she also likes crackers, mm-hmm, and she likes cookies and she likes hula hoops. Now they have to be ready salted.
Yes.
That's okay. She also prefers chickadees to wheelies, but she'll accept wheelies.
Yes.
And that's okay. Yes. So her little needs, she relies on those things. So if she requests them and I don't have them, it's going to cause her upset. So yes, you need to be a little bit maybe one step ahead of there of what the, you know, they're going to request, mm-hmm, or what they need.
Yes.
And I think a routine is probably one of the most successful things to have worked for all my kids, despite where they are on the spectrum.
Yes.
Knowing what to expect, mm-hmm, and knowing what's expected of them and knowing how things run every day gives a sense of safety. And that's really where you need to start. You need to help your child feel safe. Safe and secure and loved. And then we'll work on everything else. Everything else will come one thing at a time, one challenge at a time, one therapy at a time, one school at a time.
Yes.
But start with helping them understand how their day is going to look.
That's beautiful, Jessica, because even, you know, you saying that to me now, here today, I feel relaxed by what you've just said. That's very beautiful. I really do think that's beautiful.
They need to feel like they can trust you.
Yes, yeah.
Because,
like, it sounds like I'm not, you know, putting it down to chickadees or wheelies or, you know, do you want to have banana or do you want to have apple? Because that's also great.
Yeah.
And it's words and it's communication and it's texture and it's crunching and it's all those things. But it's so much deeper than that.
It is.
Isn't it, really? It
is. And like, there was a time when I only had one child who was diagnosed with autism. And at the time, I made a decision to close my house from 6 p.m. because 6 to 7:30 was her bedtime. And if anybody arrived, it didn't matter who it was, whether it was my best friend, my own mother, or you yourself, Anne.
Yes.
I was very strict on how the house was to be at that time because sleep is so important. Like, they need, in my house, when they're struggling, they need 12 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
So you need to set them up for a good night's sleep. So whether that means a bit of movement between 5 and 6, and then a bit of calm between 6 and 7. Mm. And then whatever it is that they like, whether it's they like you to sit down with them for a little while and tell them you'll be right back when they start to fall asleep. And you edge your way out and you're patient and you remind them that tomorrow and what's happening in the morning and if it's a school day or if it's a weekend or what's going to be happening and what they have to look forward to, and remind them they had a good day. And something I do, maybe it's because some days are harder than others, that no matter what happens, my kids get tucked in and they get told that they're loved and they get told to sleep well.
Yes.
And most of the time they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have time after they're asleep to work on your own calming down stage.
Yes.
And de-stressing from the day, regardless of what happened, that you have your own little routine that you have for yourself when they're soundly sleeping. So sleep and routine are probably they're the biggest foundation of caring for your child that will help you help them grow.
Yes.
And cope.
Yes.
Because it is a lot to cope with for them, for the parent, for the family. It's all very overwhelming for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So focusing on predictability, calming the household down, knowing what to expect, and keeping things consistent,
yes,
will benefit your child more than any doctor in this world can.
Yes.
Because it's only something you can do. It's only something a parent can do.
Mm-hmm.
Is show their child how to go to bed.
Yes.
And how to start the day.
Yeah.
And just do it over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it will become what they will request from you.
Yes.
I have older children who still look to be tucked in. Not because they can't talk. Not because they're struggling. Because it's part of their routine.
Yes.
And if I'm not going to be there to do that, I make sure and let them know. And I let them know that whoever is there will check in on them.
Yes.
And tuck them in and say goodnight to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a step to them self-soothing and going to sleep, just like a newborn. But as time goes on and as you continue with consistency, they just feel safe and they're just asleep. They just go asleep.
Yes.
Because they know that that's what they need to do now. Yes. That's what it's time for.
Yes.
Everything else on the list or on the routine is done. All the boxes are ticked.
Yes.
They're fed, they're watered, they're warm, they're loved. It's been a long day.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what they're dealing with, whether it's being in mainstream, being in a preschool, you know, being at home for a day with nowhere to go because it's raining.
Yes.
No matter what happens during the day, they can rely on their nighttime to be the same.
Yes.
And kids with autism want things to stay the same.
Yes.
They're avoidant of change.
Yes.
Yeah. By nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing. You just have to get to know what they need in those little steps.
Yeah, those kind of transitions.
Little transitions, yeah. You know, we're going to get our jammies on now.
Yes.
And we're going to have a little bit of tea time, whether it's toast or for Abby at the minute, that's what it is. It's toast and it's bacon tuck crackers and cookies and a little cup of juice. And I might sit down with her for a few minutes. And then I'll get her melatonin and I'll give her melatonin and I'll tuck her in.
Mm.
And I'll tell her she's wonderful. And I'll tell her I'll see her in the morning. And she will settle because she feels safe. And she knows that this is what happens every day.
Yes.
And that's what brings her comfort. That's what helps her soothe herself.
Yes. Like on some level you could think it's relentless. But then if we reframe that and we flip that, it's actually that ongoing continuity of routine, and it just wraps the family in a sense of security.
Yeah.
Jess, can we move on to co-regulation?
Co-regulation, I would think, is very similar to what is called parallel play. For me, at the minute, what is working with Abby is Abby sometimes needs a lot of movement in her room, and I just go in there and I will sit down in her bed, and I might have a headphone in my ear. I like the really small ones, or an AirPod, and I might be watching an old show on my phone, something that I don't really need to pay attention to, but that Abby knows I'm there, I'm calm, and she can calm as well.
Yes.
And I might be playing Candy Crush. And what I'm doing is regulating myself first so that she can regulate herself. Whether she's frustrated or sad or worried, any emotion she's having that she can't express can be reduced with co-regulation.
Okay.
My mom likes to massage Abby's feet. That's her way to co-regulate with Abby. Yes. She also has a game on her phone that she likes to play.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what our kids need. They need all the benefits that come with having someone next to them.
Yes.
But not necessarily talking with them.
Yes.
Because they're clearly finding it hard to express whatever emotion it is that they're feeling. And sometimes that's excitement. Like sometimes that's Abby jumping around her room, happy as Larry, you know, jumping off her windowsill onto her bed. And then all of a sudden she'll just get in onto the blankets and she'll tuck in and she'll throw a head on my shoulder. And that is co-regulation.
Yes.
That's her knowing that you're there and she's there. You're doing what you're doing and she's doing what she's doing.
Yes.
But there's a little safe environment there. And, you know, I might say, come on now, into bed now. Into bed now, stop messing.
Mm-hmm.
And she will.
Mm.
Or she'll have 10 more bounces and then she will.
Yes.
But it's about being calm in yourself. And I can't say that that's something that I've always found easy. And depending on what your child is struggling with at the time, but overall, practicing co-regulation with your children, even if they don't have additional needs, is fantastic to practice because it allows you to hold space for them to just relax with you.
Yes.
Which is something that doesn't come naturally to kids with additional needs. They don't know what to do with themselves sometimes.
Yes.
So sometimes I might be co-regulating on the couch with Abby and she's watching her iPad and I might be reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently got back into reading. You have to retry things all the time to try and just help ground yourself. And at the minute, reading is working for me. And then one of my other kids might come in and, you know, they're kind of not really sure what to do with themselves. But they know they want to be near me. They're not going out. So I might just say, why don't you grab your iPad and sit down with us for a little while?
Yes. Yeah.
You can get your headphones too if you like. And they will either take you up on that offer if that's what will meet their needs.
Yes.
Or they might say, you know what, I'm actually going to go have a shower.
Yes.
But you're still inviting them into the co-regulation space.
Space, yeah.
Where you're lying down and like that, helping Abby be calm is what's best for everybody in my house.
Yes.
Because it just is. So that's a priority at the minute because the more regulated she is, the more regulated everybody is.
Yes.
So it's about being able to calm yourself by doing something. If you want to learn how to knit, learn how to knit.
Mm-hmm.
It can be anything. It can be an audiobook, it can be music, it can be typing notes on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
As a way of journaling, you know what I mean? You might be able to have a pen and paper, but you could type something. You know, I'm very proud to say that I am on level 8,000 of Candy Crush. Because sometimes that's just how I regulate.
Yes.
And it helps her regulate.
Yes.
I'm just doing this right beside her.
Yeah.
And she's calm.
Yeah.
And it's lovely.
Yeah. And I think what's really nice is the fact that you can be kind of silent together. She doesn't need you to entertain her at that point.
No.
She needs, both of you need some quiet.
Yes.
Some calm and some even breathing. You know, I think our children watch us for signals.
They
and
do.
If you're there, you know, rocking with her or breathing, and you know, she'll fall into a rhythm with you.
Yes.
Or a child would do that. If you persevere, if you persevere with that kind of movement, but you're giving of yourself to them totally at that point.
Yes.
Aren't you? And once they do start to, those big emotions start to calm a little bit for them, then I suppose they're actually exhausted or they're tired from the power of those feelings.
A lot of the time, they just want to feel relaxed.
Yes.
And it doesn't come easily or naturally.
Yes.
To kids with additional needs. So a lot of times, once they allow themselves,
yeah,
to slow themselves down to the pace that you are, which is completely still, mm, not talking, yes, just sitting there with them, stroke, yes, their hair, rub their back, mm, you know, give them a little cuddle and be there. A lot of the times you will see how tired they are.
Yes.
And that's what I find with Abby, is once she allows herself to relax with me, mm-hmm, beside her. And we don't always need to do it. Sometimes she can regulate herself. Mm-hmm. At the moment, she's finding it more difficult because the clocks have changed and, yes, the moon and the stars aren't coming at the same time they used to. So at the moment, she needs a lot of co-regulation.
Yes. Her understanding of the moon and stars not being there yet, whereas all winter they were there, yes, early. And for her to associate that with, that's bedtime, sleep time, and now they're not there.
And it's completely rational.
It's completely rational, it, like, yes.
It's completely, yeah, rational for her to expect it to be dark when she knows it's time to go sleep.
Yes.
So when it's not,
yeah,
you can kind of understand why she expects it to be. And we actually, like, we're a little bit ahead of the game. We have that stuff that tints car windows,
yes,
on the inside of Abby's window. So it's naturally a little bit darker, but she's so switched on and so clever that there's no fooling her. She, yeah, knows that they're not here yet.
Yes.
Now, eventually, she does just accept that she's tired. And, you know, like kids who wait up for Santa or wait up for the Tooth Fairy, they're eventually going to fall asleep.
Yes. Jessica, it's just amazing talking with you, and I think parents listening are going to really, really benefit from your insights and what you've learned and discovered over the past 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
It's a long road.
It is, and it's not an easy journey to start, and it's not one to be taken lightly either, but the majority of people don't have a choice.
Yes.
A lot of people would say, I don't know how you do it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't given a choice. Mm-hmm. I was given a beautiful child, and that child needed things that were different to other kids. So that's what I provided for them.
Yes.
Because it's what they needed. And I suppose in terms of wellness, I can put my hands up and say that there was times where I didn't or couldn't look after myself. I was so consumed with their needs and their appointments and talking with schools and talking with teachers and fighting for what they need and paperwork, and it's all so overwhelming. But in the last most recent years, yes, I have found that it's more beneficial for them to see me practice wellness, wow, for myself.
Yes.
Because they're going to follow that lead. Mm-hmm. They're going to see the benefits for themselves. And whether that's setting a small step goal for yourself, or maybe it's just going for a 10-minute walk every day. Mm-hmm. Those little goals you set for yourself and achieve and make them achievables. Don't get a gym membership. Mm-hmm. Just say, I'm going to start moving a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with a 10-minute walk. That might have to be a 10-minute walk inside your house. It might have to be if your child doesn't have a school to go to right now.
Yes.
But if they are going to school and you go for that 10-minute walk at 9 a.m., slowly but surely, you're building up a wellness pot for yourself that you're just filling by doing these little things, like having a nice breakfast and going for a 10-minute walk and maybe lying down and closing your eyes for half an hour.
Yes.
I'm a big, big believer in a nap.
Yes.
I always have been. Mm-hmm. It has regulated me. Not everybody can sleep during the day. So find something that works for you.
Yes.
If it's setting a timer and making sure that you don't spend the whole morning cleaning, set a timer, clean for an hour, rest for an hour, spend an hour getting ready for them to come in. That's 3 hours. Manage that time to your benefit.
Yes. It really sounds like what you've just said, like effective time management, and it sounds like establishing really healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Around your person.
Yes.
Around you. And then that transfers on naturally.
It does.
To your children.
It does. And I know that the days where I practice the things that I've put in place, I know when I achieve those goals, I am more equipped to deal with the stress that's already there and isn't going anywhere.
Yes.
That stress is going to be there when they come back from school and their needs are bursting out of them. I'm more equipped to deal with it in a calmer way if I've spent a little bit of time looking after myself.
Yes.
I'll do it regardless. And they say you can't pour from an empty cup, but parents of kids with additional needs do it every day. Mm. But you have to actively give yourself permission to fill your own cup.
Yes.
So you have to meet your own needs. There, it's just as important to meet your own needs as it is to meet your child's needs.
Yes.
Because we could get into a conversation here about burnout that could go on for days.
Yes.
And treating the symptoms of burnout and recovering from burnout is so difficult. But I'm sure it's something a lot of parents listening experience. Mm-hmm. And if you can do nothing else to help your burnout, just start putting something in your cup.
So it really sounds as if you can't wait for the therapies or the place or the answer or the intervention. You've got to actually say, this is what my life looks like, and I'm going to give it the best shot I can.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to consciously make an intention every day. I'm going to put something that I love, as you said, whatever that is for you, I'm going to put that into my cup for me, because I just feel, you know, it's lovely to go, and this is my genuine belief, it is lovely to get a break, it's lovely to go on a spa day, it's lovely to go, you know, and do whatever big thing, but you come back to the same issues and the same struggle and the same emotional needs from our children. And so it's that kind of deep, it's like deep core training or something, isn't it?
I met a psychologist a few years ago, and we were discussing my youngest, Abby, and we came onto the conversation, I suppose, about how I was doing, because at this stage, Abby was my third child diagnosed, and I was still under the age of 30. So it was a lot. I was chronically overwhelmed. And he asked me in passing, kind of, you know, how are you doing? And I said to him, I said, I have a couple of hours during the day when they're in school where I can rest, or all I want is sleep. But I just can't turn it off. And he said something that stuck with me, and I still do it to this very day. He told me that I will not be able to switch off until I give myself permission. He said, you actually have to lie down and say, I'm giving myself permission to rest for 90 minutes. And he recommended a man on YouTube called Michael Seeley, yes, who has various different ones. One's for anxiety, one's for deep fatigue. And it's like someone turned on a light or turned off a light. But all of a sudden, I figured out that no one is going to come and say, it's time for you to have a rest. Because you're the adult, you're the parent, you're the mother, you're the one in control. You have to be, a lot of the time. You have to run things a certain way to meet your child's needs. But you have to give yourself permission to exhale and to switch your mind off. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to help them to the best of your ability.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how many professionals you have on your team. Nobody can give you permission to take care of yourself except yourself. And that's as good a place as any to start.
Jessica, thank you. And I'm so happy that you've come along and chatted with me today, because I can only imagine how mums and dads are going to feel listening to what you had to say. And I want to thank you very, very much.
It was absolutely my pleasure. And I just want to help in any way I can to let parents know that you're not alone, because you can feel so isolated with your precious miracle of a child who's different. And it gets you right in the stomach. But there's loads of us. We just haven't had a way to connect yet.
Yeah.
And you're not alone.
Yes.
Everybody on this podcast who's talking, and you speaking, everything that's going into this, and all the people who are listening, that's already a community.
Yes.
It's becoming a community where people can say, yeah, it's hard, we're doing it, this is what helps, this is what doesn't. Today is enough.
Today is enough.
Today is enough.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.